Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio. We're going to look ahead to what a massive weekend. Two home matches, not one, but two helpings of the Panthers. And we're going to look back on Saturday's action. Wasn't that fantastic against the Cardiff Devils? Joined as ever. Well, not as ever, because Ken was missing. Ken, how was your cello practice last weekend?
It was, as always, extremely chilled out, very mellow with the cello.
Good rhyme. Anyway, welcome to Kenneth. Welcome to Jono. How are you doing, Jono?
I'm doing good, thank you, mate.
And you can tell Green is bored of us already because he's doing his washing up. How are you, Greener?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Quite a lot of washing up to do there.
I'm looking at the way that he's doing that Tupperware, and I'm thinking there's a technique there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen it, but there's a technique.
There was just stuff in it, so I was like rinsing it out before I got it in the bowl, because otherwise all the stuff just makes the water dirty. So,
to be fair, we're recording late. Surprised you even said yes, because it's past your bedtime. So,
well, that's why I'm doing it at the same time, so that as soon as we're done,
I'm pleased he's fully clothed.
Yeah. No, sad times. We prefer top off Dan. Anyway, come on, let's crack on. Let's talk about Saturday. And before we move on to this weekend, what a thrilling game. Going to start with you, Ken, I think. What a thrilling game. I know, of course, you touched on it in the post-game podcast. But, you know, you talked to me about, I thought the atmosphere all night was great, but the first 5 to 10 minutes, Cardiff brought a great set of fans. They were loud. Block 19 and all across the arena was loud. You know, that atmosphere. And hey, look, nearly setting out a game in October in the Challenge Cup. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
It's just good. You know, it's as good a game as you're going to see on a Saturday night in Nottingham. I just love the fact that these big Saturday nights are back, and you know, it's an absolute credit, I think, to the organisation that they've got so many Saturday nights in the diary, proper hockey nights. And obviously we've got the doubleheader this weekend, obviously Dundee Saturday and then Belfast Sunday. But yeah, it was just cracking. I mean, I was saying how long does it take to kind of like switch off after a game? And I think we were messaging at like, it must have been like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
it was still absolutely buzzing.
Yeah,
and just get so pumped for something like that. It's just incredible. What a game, what an atmosphere, what a night. And beating Cardiff, yes. Really, really enjoyable.
Jono, you probably have some favourite moments, but you pretty much called the third goal. That must be right up there. It was one of those moments, wasn't it? Because, you know, the drama was the fact that Tets, I saw some people saying Tets should have fought him, and maybe on a different occasion, Tets would have fought him. Who knows? He chose not to. But
he's 3 foot tall. Tets is a mountain. I mean,
yeah.
What?
It's a fair point, Kenneth. But look, Tets chose not to fight him. He won't get the assist on the goal, but he might as well, because
yeah,
goaded him to that penalty. We get the power play, and Jono, you said it might cost them, and it did. But it added to the theatre of the night, didn't it?
It did. It was one of those things that when it happened, and we said, me and Dan said on commentary, like, is Tetlow going to get called as well, even though he didn't do anything? But we've seen it so many times where the referees will call two apiece, but they stuck to their guns. They just put Riley Brandt in the box, and it was like, is this going to cost them? And it did, inevitably, when we scored the power play goal to make it 3-0, which was eventually the game winner. So it really did end up costing the Devils. So yeah, great. Like you say, a great bit of theatre on a great, great night. I was speaking to one of the other dads at school who actually went to the game, and he said how much he enjoyed it. He's only been sort of two or three times, but yeah, anybody going to that game as a neutral or going to that game for the first time, it would have helped to have got them hooked, because it was such a good game of hockey.
comes to Greener now. I mean, I'm going to have to unmute him because despite doing this podcast for 5 years, he's not quite worked out that making noise in the background doesn't quite work, Greener. So let me get the unmute button. So your multitasking might be good for you. But
I just say, I can't believe he's not rinsed that pot.
No.
Greener, do you put pots on the draining board with suds on them?
He's got to unmute. I've had to ask him to unmute, so you're going to have to unmute yourself now. Oh, he's going to have wet hands as well. That could be a nightmare. Anyway, the big question. Answer Ken's question first.
If I'm honest, yeah, I do. Like, looking at them now, hardly any of them have it on, but yeah, I just wash it and put it straight on the rack.
I can't. You don't rinse?
No.
I can't. Right. People need to comment below.
You wash it and then you rinse it afterwards.
Yeah, so you wash it and then you rinse it under like lukewarm or slightly warm water to get the suds off. Then it goes on the draining board. You can't put it on the draining board.
Yeah, it's a flap, and I know what you mean. But if you rinse it, this has gone a weird way. If you rinse it with lukewarm,
you've got to keep turning the tap on and off.
Exactly, you've got to keep turning the tap on.
No, that's what the little side sink's for, next to the main sink.
Has he got a side sink?
Yeah, there's like a little. Yeah. It just sounds like too much hard work.
I can't. Right, people need to comment. Do you rinse or do you leave the suds? What about the sud residue?
Well, it's got my tray's got a little thing in it, so the water drips out and down the sink.
Yeah, but the residue is it drop? The residue's left from the sud, so you're like eating fairy. Other brands are available.
We're not the BBC.
I've done it for a while and I'm still here. So, I mean, it's not caused me any harm.
I don't know. I don't know.
Stay with us for more exhilarating hockey chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, as much as this has been fascinating, I kind of sit in the middle. I do see both sides. Rina, my question for you is we keep winning close games and Danny keeps saying, we can be better, and I want to see a 60-minute performance, and he's spot on. But how good is it, and how much will the room take confidence that when they're going into the tight games, okay, the one in Sheffield, you know, there was a couple against Sheffield, but a lot of the other games, Panthers keep winning despite another team coming up hard at them.
Yeah, I think me and John have said it on commentary. Obviously, you ideally you win by a few goals, so there's no stress. But I mean, you know, realistically, when it gets down to the business end of the season, those games don't really exist. You know, the Challenge Cup semi-finals and final and playoffs. And, you know, I think even though we're up 3-0 and you probably want to win 5-1, so it's an easier night, I think in the long run, you learn more from losing hard games like Cardiff coming back and making it 3-2 with 5 or 6 minutes left, and that last 5 or 6 minutes having to really gut out a win in the long run, I think helps the team. At the time, it's stressful and you would much rather not. But like you said, you need to learn to win close games. There's good teams in this league and they're going to fight back and come back. And yeah, I think you learn more from winning a really hard fought close game than a 6-1 win, because when it comes down to it, those games aren't going to happen much after Christmas. So, yeah, I would agree.
Where do we sit with the enforcer? No, I don't want to go back over the enforcer debate.
So, just something, talking about the Tetlow Brandt incident, and that was a pivotal moment in that game. Obviously, Jono called it, led to a goal. These, and it links into what you were going to say about the enforcer, kind of, because if you think about that game, credit to Kevin Moore's Coventry Blaze, who beat the Sheffield Steelers the other night. There was a key moment in that game with the Ciampini cross check, which then led to that game changing completely. And that was a moment. That's that one moment, that loss of control, the reaction. Now, you can argue what happened before. Obviously, there was a bit that led up to that. But whatever, the ref saw what was done. It was called, and that changed that game. Those are going to be the things where, if we can in those moments, I fundamentally believe that if we can really irk teams, and we can get them, disrupt them, and we can play with that bit of edge and get the rub of the green a few times. Those moments, if we can capitalize on it, if we can, you know, our power play is so effective. You know, it's up there, as is our penalty kill. You think, well, before, when we've maybe had those opportunities, we haven't necessarily converted off the back of them, but now we are, and that's special team and that opportunity. It's a difference. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the difference in a 3-2 victory.
I'm going to come on to special teams with you, Jono, in a minute, because you threw some stats out there. But you've basically answered my question in the way that I thought you might, Ken. And my question was going to be, enforcer was the wrong word to use. We talked about, you know, did the team need an enforcer? And we had that great debate a few weeks ago. And then we said, let's look how this team shapes up. And what I've seen so far is the team will battle in the corners. You know, they're not, and it's not all about whether Tetlow drops the gloves, you know, in a one-off incident. Do you know what I mean? I am seeing this team go head-to-head and grind it out. A team like Cardiff Devils, you know, they've now got into Cardiff and won. They've now beaten Cardiff at home. And they're going to be one of the more feistier teams in the league. Manchester Storm as well got into Manchester and won. So I just think there's more evidence here that this team is definitely going to play with that edge. And I'm sure we'll see some fights before the end of the season. But you make a really good point there, Ken, a really good one, about that massive moment in the Steelers game where that retaliation penalty, you know, that's the physical side that people like to see. That's called about, I mean, he was sticking up for himself, wasn't he, rather than the teammate, because he'd got the hit. But in the end, you're right. That led to a 5-minute penalty. Somebody else took a 2, didn't they? Can't remember what that was for. And Coventry scored on the 5-on-3 and the 5-on-4 to turn the game around. Jono, you put those stats out, which I hadn't looked at the stats for a while on PK and penalty kill, but they felt good. And then it was your tweet that first alerted me to how good they were. You know, looking at, you know, watching most of the games, how impressive has the power play been and the penalty kill?
Really, it's really good. Because on the Elite League site, they separate the Elite League stats and the Challenge Cup stats. So I just created the spreadsheet and merged them all together. So overall, and this is for all teams playing in both competitions, we're second in the league on power play, 27.03%, behind Manchester Storm, who are top. We've got the best penalty kill in the league overall, 90.63% on the penalty kill, which is stunning. You know, just 3 goals conceded on the opposition power play from 32 times shorthanded, which is very, very good stats. And then the next one after that is Belfast on 86.11%. So we're quite a way ahead on the penalty kill. But they're massive. If you remember back to the season when we won the league in 2012-13, we were ahead, number one penalty kill, number one power play for, I think, the vast majority of that season, well ahead. And this it's such an important factor if you're going to win trophies and if you're ultimately going to win league championships. You need to be right up there with your special teams. And it was something I asked Danny about in his post-game interview on Saturday, how happy he was with his special teams. And obviously he was delighted with them because they're producing the goods.
Greener, you know, how important, you know, as a player, you know, as someone who's played the game, obviously, don't think you've probably had a shift on the power play as a goalie. Well, you know what I mean. You're part of that unit, but you've not had to experience the forward lines or sat there at right point. But my question is, you know, as a team, do teams, how am I going to phrase this without, you know, almost make it stating the obvious? But I think my point is the teams know when they've got a good power play and you've got a good penalty kill. Do players just feel it, do you think? You know, is it kind of like once it's going and they're pretty much, yeah, because you can, you know, we've all seen power plays where you know, Panthers have had abysmal power plays all season. It's just not got it right for one reason or another. But, you know, does sometimes, guess what I'm trying to say? Does a coach hit upon a formula, the players all manage to buy into it, and it kind of snowballs after that?
Yeah, I think normally like a coach will have an idea of like the players he wants on the power play on the two units. Obviously, throughout the year, because of injuries and stuff, that they'll probably change a bit, but eventually they'll just click. And I think the year that we did the treble was a bit like that. We were a little bit up and down at the start of the year. But, you know, as soon as we had that unit with, you know, Linger, Bruce Graham, I think Jonathan Weaver was on it. You just have those guys that, they're so offensively gifted. And once you find, it's not always the top players, but they just, players kind of get some chemistry. And once you get one or two goals on the power play, it just starts to flow. And, you know, that year, you guys will probably all remember, you know, every time we got a power play, we thought we were going to score. And it just gives you so much confidence. But I think the penalty kill is the same, where you can play a bit more on the edge and you can play physically, because you know that if you take a penalty, you're probably going to kill it off 8 times out of 10 anyway. So it just, it relaxes, you know, you can be a bit more physical, you relax. Yeah, and you're just not worried. I mean, sometimes if your power play is struggling, we say it on the commentary a lot that it really drains the confidence of the whole team. If you get 3 power plays in a row and you don't score on them, it gives the other team momentum and you almost don't want them. So, yeah, I think, you know, at the moment it's really clicking for us. I'm sure there'll be times when it struggles, because it always will do. But hopefully Danny's found a formula, and, you know, the guys at the moment, it all seems to be clicking. So, yeah, it's all working perfectly at the moment.
2 more random questions. Have you ever met a hockey player that doesn't want to be on a power play?
No, I don't think so, ever. I think it's, I think there are certain players that know they're probably not going to be on the power play, and they're fine with it, and they'll probably be on every single penalty kill. But I think every player wants to be on the power play, because it's just a chance to get points, and, you know, you're not really going to get hit when you're on the power play. You don't have to skate as much. It's a lot, obviously, easier when you're up by a guy. So, no, I think every player absolutely craves to be on the power play.
And you lead it into the next question. We've seen some great penalty killers over the years. Do you think any player enjoys being on the penalty kill?
Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, you know, I don't think guys particularly love like blocking shots, especially if you've got a guy on the other team with a massive shot and you know it's going to hit you. But I think there are some guys that, you know, maybe they don't play loads of minutes and they're not on the power play. You know, no one wants to take a penalty, but they see it as their, you know, when Ollie Bettridge first came in, and he wasn't as much of an offensive player, he would penalty kill all the time. Like, you've probably seen it with GB when like Lacko and Ollie go out together, or like Matthew Myers, someone like that. They kind of, it's their badge of honor. They're like passionate about not conceding a goal. And it's not really a very fun job a lot of the time, because you don't have the puck.
But you're rewarding, maybe. It's rewarding. Not fun, but rewarding.
Yeah, and it's like if I go out and we kill 3 penalties in this game, we'll probably win the game. So it's probably not as glamorous, but like guys just want ice time. And if that's how they get it, they'll, you know, I'm sure there's guys in the NHL that make millions of dollars a year purely because they're great penalty killers. So,
yeah, it's a really good point. And you won't get the assist on the game winning goal. But that those 5 penalties you've killed in a game are just as valuable, Ken.
And then also, you know, key part of your penalty kill as well is you know, who's between the pipes. And we've been given a chance to win there as well. You know, obviously both Rock's performances we've seen on the road and obviously, you know, Beds at home's just like really settling into that role. And you can't underestimate his role both in that penalty kill, and Rock, you know, in those penalty kill stats, but in that victory on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, the penalty killing was exemplary. It was absolutely fantastic. It'd be interesting to see, you know, he's Jono, I suppose I'm not asking you to predict, but when we've had back-to-back games in the cup. One's been at home, and Betts has played. The away games, it kind of followed a pattern, hasn't it? And Rock's played. It's two home Elite League games this weekend. He's got a decision to make because Rok Stojanovic has knocked on his door and said, "Hey, coach, if you need me, I'm available and I'm playing well." So, you know, might he split them?
Let me give you a couple of interesting stats. Ryan Bednard, current save percentage, 93.5%.
Yep.
Rok Stojanovic, current save percentage, 93.5%.
Brilliant.
So, albeit Ryan Bednard's is from seven games, Rox is from three. But, you know, very, very similar stats. I think I would predict he will split the weekend. If I was a betting man, I would say Rock will start Saturday and Ryan Bednard will start Sunday.
I just think it's a fascinating debate that we're in a situation now where it's you know, it's absolutely fantastic to have two netminders showing up each time they play. And look, as well, it's not also that it feels like it's occasionally greener. It feels like every night, and you guys will know it from the commentary. I guarantee you, you know, I was at the game. I didn't hear, obviously, Saturday night, but you guys probably talked about how well Bednar played.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been, you know, I say without jinxing it, he's been great every game. You know, even games where we've won by a few goals and it's been comfortable in the end, he's made big saves, huge saves along the way. I mean, we obviously were up 3-0 against Cardiff, but that was only really because of him. And I think he makes it look very easy. He's not a flamboyant goalie. He's positionally very good. He's very big. He's quite a quiet goalie in the net, I would say. But yeah, no, he's been every game this year, win or lose, he's been outstanding. So yeah, I expect that to continue. And obviously, you know, having Rock there as well just gives him a little bit of protection. And, you know, when there's midweek games and lots of travel, he's obviously going to get games. But I agree with you exactly. I think it's great for Danny to have that tough decision.
William, so then it leads to that natural question of things are settled, the room's good, everything. Where does, you know, where does that leave it? Like, what do you do? Because obviously, the elephant in the room is the other goalie.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating question,
and I'm like, you know, I'm a believer that a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. And if this is working, poof, dear me, that's a tough decision, that is, to try and break that up.
But what a great position to be in. You know, we don't yet know Hunter's arrival day. I'm sure we will know soon enough. But it's a really great point. And it's actually as I think, I've touched on with someone before, what a great position to be in, to say, I've got two great goalies playing well, a third one whose pedigree is very good, who has great stats coming into this league. What a great position to be in, rather than going, well, I don't know which one of my two goalies I want to play, you know. So it's a really good situation to be in. And I think it's fascinating. It's one that, say, not been talked about. I'm sure the coaches and management would have talked about it. Pretty sure they will. And I think it's a fascinating one that's around the corner. And no doubt one that we will find out in due course. Jono, what about the weekend? I kind of come to you for the old what threat will they pose? Dundee Stars, first of all, bit unknown. We've not seen them, have we, this season? They've been a bit up and down. But, where are we going to see threats from them?
They've had some good re-signings. Dryden Dow, their captain, he always turns up every single game. Obviously, Ben O'Connor in defence now for them. Cameron Kiley, the former Steeler, he's playing for them. Jonathan McBean as well, the young Brit, he started banging them away. And he's still only, I think, 20 years old. So he's really starting to come into his own and being an important part of that team. One of their new players, Keanu Yamamoto, he's banging them away. So they'll provide a threat. They had a really, really good win against Guildford in a shootout last Saturday. So they cannot be taken for granted. I think Mark Lefevre probably prefer a few more wins for them, but they will provide a threat. I think if you look at the rosters player for player, then I think Panthers do have the better roster. But you never know come game time. They will have threats, so they certainly cannot be taken for granted.
And to you, Greener, about Belfast on Sunday, and like Jono said, no disrespect to Dundee, but as you say, man for man, you would hope Panthers would beat Dundee Stars, but hockey isn't played on paper, so none of us, and certainly this team, won't get carried away. But my point is like Sunday's game, might be another yardstick and a measurement of where this Panthers side are, because look, they've ran the Steelers close twice, but for a bounce here, but for a bounce there, they could have beaten them, but they didn't. Cardiff, they've been into Cardiff. Yes, we lost, in pre-season at home, but went to a difficult place in Cardiff in pre-season and won, and now won a serious game on home ice. So is Belfast, who are probably again on paper behind the Steelers, just about, Steelers, I think we all accept, have got the best team. They showed that last year. Belfast have made some impressive signings. My point being to you, is that a yardstick? If Panthers can knock off Belfast on Sunday, that'll be another massive tick in the box of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're the other one of the sort of big four, if you want to call us that. And like you said, we've played the other two, and they've all been very close games. But yeah, I think Belfast are obviously going to be there or thereabouts, right at the top end of the league come the end of the season. And really well coached, lots of returning players, always a good team. And yeah, second of a back to back, it'll be a really tough game. Belfast, top team. And obviously they've got some players coming back this year that have been away that are, really, really talented. And yeah, with Adam Keefe as their coach, they're always well drilled, hard working. It will be just like Cardiff last Saturday. It will be intense. It will be physical. It will be two top teams going at it. And yeah, I think if we're, obviously if we can win, it'd be amazing. But if we're battling with Belfast, goal here or goal there, again, it's good signs that we're mixing with the top teams again. And I think that really is a game that could go either way. But yeah, it should be a really, really fun weekend. And I think Belfast being the second game, sort of finishing on the bigger game, I think will be really good.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. So get your seats for the weekend. Just a few bits and bobs to remind you. If you want to come to both games, that'd be fantastic. There is a discounted bundle price if buying both games at the same time. So take advantage of that. Sunday's game against the Giants. Family tickets are available. Select Block 8 and Block 12. That's giving you some good discounts on standard match night tickets. And we'll have a pre-game show on both nights, full details to follow. But we got a couple of great guests already lined up for that. Just a bit of admin though. Saturday's is in Saltbox. We will confirm Sunday's as soon as possible. Doesn't look like being in Saltbox again, but we will confirm things as soon as possible. So yes, Saturday in Saltbox. But keep an eye on our social media and on our website, because we've got some good guests, including a former Panther as well. So that will to come before the weekend, and to let you know about that. Just for you to end, really, Ken, have you got the, do I always say it right? Kenergy. Have you got the Kenergy not to do it once this weekend, but to do it twice?
I'll find it. I'll
You
find it.
will.
I just, the one final point on that weekend. So I think Belfast have got Coventry on Saturday night. So that's their home game. Then obviously they come in, and my view is that we look, yes, it's a double header weekend. Danny and the team will be, thinking about Dundee on Saturday night. That's going to be their main focus. They won't be thinking about Sunday until Saturday night's done. So, it's going to be a great weekend of hockey. It's
Yeah.
going to be tiring, but I'm going to bring the Kenergy.
You will. You will for sure. Brilliant, guys. Listen, great as ever to chat to you. We can't wait to see you at the weekend. Not one, but two helpings of the Panthers Nation at the Motorpoint Arena. It's been brilliant. And listen, I know we talk about it all the time, but I'm not ashamed to do it. It's that noise, it's that support and that atmosphere that helps gets the guys over the line. You know, there's an interview. There's two interviews this week that are going to go out on our socials and on our website with C. Garrett and Matt Spencer. And they just listen to what they've got to say. In fact, Z has some unbelievable things to say about the changing room and how he feels about the changing room with all the changing rooms he's been in. So that's well worth a listen. But yeah, both of them just talk about the support. As ever, it's been amazing. We can't wait to have you twice this weekend. We'll see you Saturday and Sunday. But for now, it's bye for now.